All right. Again, I hope you have been blessed already by worship. I do just want to mention real quick, thank you, Tim. I want to mention real quick that what was happening during worship, if that was kind of unfamiliar to you. We believe that as we read the Bible in the book of Corinthians, Paul gave directions on what happens when we come together as a church family. And one of the things he says that happens is we come together and people have exhortations, or there's prophetic words happening, meaning there's timely words, spontaneous words that happen from God. And this should be regular church as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the 14th chapter. And so what we always allow for is for spontaneous messages that we believe are from God. And so today we had three different people got up spontaneously. And actually, and even Rachel's prayer, closing out worship, she just felt God speaking these things in the moment. And we believe God works that way, all right? And I said, so there's a mutual, exhorting going on. You're not just coming to hear the worship team or listen to me, but God wants to speak to us. Amen? Right, the scripture is real clear. It says the sheep know the shepherd's voice. We believe God wants to speak to us, and we believe that's normal Christianity. Amen. All right. So again, just to help you, I said if that's new and you're wondering what's happening, that's what we get that right out of scripture, right out of the Word of God. Okay, hey, we're in the middle of our series called The Fear of God. The Fear of God, and we've been using Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12, these couple verses. This has been our springboard verse for this series. And so let's just review this real quick. It says, and Solomon is writing, he says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring to every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. Okay, so we see here that Solomon said it's the end of his life. He's been the wisest man who's ever lived, the richest man, relatively speaking, of anyone in the world. He's had everything that money could buy, right? And he did great. He was honoring God. Then he totally fell off the wagon and really at the end of his life did not do well. He was not God-honoring. But it looks here that towards the end of his life, he comes to this conclusion. This is the conclusion. Hey, listen, fear God, right? That's what he tells us to do. Keep his commandments. And then that verse 14, though, listen, that's a little intimidating. He says, for God will bring every deed into judgment and every secret thing, whether good or evil. Let's be honest, that's kind of heavy. It's kind of heavy, right? Again, we're doing baby dedications today. Everybody's happy. And now we're talking about this heavy judgment that's in front of all of us. And again, and particularly too, where he says every hidden thing, God says, I see. He sees it, and he's going to bring that to light. Man, I mean, what's up with that? You know, I remember when I was in school just a few years ago. I thought that'd be funnier. Sorry. Okay. I didn't like tests. I really didn't enjoy tests. You know when you were in high school and you had two tests on a Friday and you thought your life was hell, right? And now you long for those days, right? But the thing is, it seemed heavy. But then as I went back to college later in life as a non-traditional student, I didn't mind tests. Actually, I liked tests because I wanted to see how well I could do and I wanted to excel. They no longer intimidated me. And you think, well, what was the difference? The difference, they still took tests, they were still graded. The only difference was my perspective, how I looked at the test. You know, I could say the same thing about the way I was raised. My father was a strict and loud disciplinarian, okay, strict and loud. And again, our household wasn't necessarily the happiest. And I'll tell you what, I would rebel against the discipline. And again, I didn't think it was fair. It was harsh. I didn't like it. But you know what? As I grew into adulthood, my perspective changed. I'm like, you know what? That discipline that was given to me, it was good. And as I look back on the things that happened to me or that were done to me in the name of discipline, I probably should have had more done to me, you know, when I look back, right? Because but what's changed? perspective. Perspective change. In the moment of that discipline, back when I was young, man, I didn't like it. But later on, things change. And listen, when we look at the fear of God and trying to grasp what it's about, we need to make sure we have a change of perspective. Change of perspective. Because I'm telling you, we as followers of Jesus Christ should not fear that judgment. Is that good news? For a couple of us? Okay, all right. Listen, to me, that's good news. See, because I don't have to fear standing before God. I don't have to fear him bringing up things from several years ago. Aren't you happy about that? Amen? Would you like him to replay everything you did? Right? No. But see, but that's what we have in him. But you have to have the right perspective of who God is. And so today, so we want to make sure we got the right perspective as we're looking at the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. God, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Man, that we stand guilt-free, Father, guilt-free because of what you've won for us. And God, give us an understanding of what it means to fear you. Let us see, Father God, that fear of you is, God, it's actually a good thing. Open up our eyes to see that we could walk in all the promises you have for us. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen, amen. Now listen, those who fear God will love what God loves, hate what God hates, and live as if we will stand before God and give an account. Okay, and today we said we're going to focus on that third one. The last 2 weeks, we focused on the first two. But today, again, we want to live as if we will stand before God and give an account. There is a test coming. There's a test coming. However, before we get to just reading the sentence, recognize, God, change my perspective. Change my perspective, because this should not be something that we fear. You should not be walking in fear. So let's just look at a couple of scriptures here. First, we're going to look at Nehemiah, and this is chapter 1 of Nehemiah. If you remember, Nehemiah is the one that accepted this task of God. He was living, as all the Jews were, in captivity in Babylon, a forced captivity, and he was working for the king, and he wanted to go back and rebuild the city. Okay, and this is his prayer before he was going to ask the king for permission. Now again, remember, he's a person who's held captive, but he has this prayer. And he says, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, to the prayer of your servants, look at this, who delight to fear your name. Who delight to fear your name. So I want you to look at this. This delight to fear your name. He says, hey, take mind of your servants who have a joy in fearing your name. A joy. And that we don't think, when I think of fear, I don't think of joy, right? But here, Nehemiah has an understanding here. He has an understanding. Even though they are a people in captivity, they've been captured. They've been hauled away. It'd be like a Pittsburgh being overtaken and we're all taken to the foreign land of Cleveland, all right, which no one wants to go there. Okay. So, all right, so again, but we're there. We're forced to be there. But in Nehemiah, instead of blaming God, instead of saying, where are you and why don't you help me? And if you're so good, how come this happened to me? Right, because we like to go there, right? Nehemiah knows that, no, my God is good. And I know my Father is for me. And he is for us. My Father wants to bless me. He desires to bless me. But he knows I can't be blessed if I just live my own way. Right? See, so Nehemiah had this trust. He had this understanding of who God was. So again, well, what does fear mean? We've talked about this the last couple of weeks, which you could go back on our website and hear the messages. Right? But again, he had a revelation that fear of God meant reverence of God, reverence, a respect for God. It wasn't fear in that we should cower in fear. All right? We should not cower in fear. We should be people who reverence him, though. We see that this is serious. This is serious. We are coming before God. Right? But we respect him. But we got to remember, he is a loving father. Just like we were singing today. And we can lean back in the loving arms of a beautiful father. Right? Now, he's also a father who holds every breath that you breathe in his hand. Every breath. Every breath that we have right now that we enjoy in this room is because he allows it. That's reality, because he is all powerful. He is all powerful. But see, here's the thing. Like it's counterintuitive to think that the fear of God is a good thing, right? But we need to see what God sees. We need to understand who he is. He wants to take you to another place of understanding who he is, right? Because we need to be people who respect and rever him. Let's look forward here. Again, that the wisdom of God begins with fear. That next slide, please. The wisdom of God. Is it the, which one? Did I mess that up, Joe? Well, there it is, where wisdom begins. The fear of the Lord, many of you have heard this, is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God. In other words, when you understand that God is one to be revered, all right, then that's where wisdom starts. When you recognize that you are absolutely desperate to submit to God and who he is, that's where wisdom begins. See, otherwise, you're starting with a faulty foundation. The foundation of our lives is, I am desperate for God, right? I am poor in spirit, is what Jesus said. And some of you remember reading in the Beatitudes, the very first Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit meaning, blessed is the one who knows they are desperate for God. Desperate for God. That's where it all begins. Man, I am nothing without the Almighty. Amen? I'm nothing. I need him. So wisdom begins as I say, wow, I recognize his power. I recognize who he is. So now we know, okay, I should be able to delight in God because I know how good he is. And now I also see that when I rever him, wisdom begins. Wisdom begins. Now that one I missed. The treasure. Listen, this scripture is so cool. If there's no other scripture you remember today, remember this one. All right, because this is one that's a little obscure, and Isaiah wrote it. And he says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Now, let's start at the end and work back. The fear of God is his treasure. The treasure of God is to fear him. Catch it. He's saying, look, when you understand, when you rever me, when you recognize who I am and how good I am, because he's both. He's not just all powerful. He is all good. All powerful, all good. He said, when you catch this, it's a treasure to fear God. It is a treasure to reverence God. It is a treasure to obey every command he speaks. Every single one. Every one. He says it's a treasure. A treasure. Now, most of us don't think of following commands as being a treasure, right? But that's what the writer says. And catch this then. Let's back up. What does this treasure give us? Wisdom and knowledge, which gives us stability. Think of the word stability. When I'm stable, I can't be moved. Everyone in this room right now has things attacking your stability. Every one of us. I know that because the Bible says. Jesus said, every day you have trouble. That's a promise of God, right? It's a promise. I know there's something shaking your stability, shaking your faith. And it says, look, but as we know God, as we see him as a treasure, you stand. I am stable. Why? Because I know my God is a treasure. I fear my God. And now I stand strong, and he gives me wisdom, he gives me knowledge, and strength of salvation. Think about this. Listen, that's deliverance from your trouble. Deliverance from your trouble, deliverance from your stress. How's it happen? Man, listen, fear God. The treasure of God is found in fearing him, in reverencing him. Are you catching the change of perspective? Right? Catch the change of perspective. See, we don't have to fear. I don't fear him in the sense that he's going to get me. He's out to get me. He's out to bless me. But he says, look, you can't get it. You're never going to get it if you keep trying to be the governor of your life and keep trying to take over. Rever me. I'm in control. He's the one in control. Right? That's the battle every one of us face every single day. Who's really in control today? Are you? Or is he? This is the throne of my life. How often am I sitting on the throne? How often am I sitting on the throne? Now, today, you're here on Sunday, he's on the throne. But what's going to happen Tuesday at about 3 p.m.? What's going to happen? Who's on the throne? See, because if we fear God and we rever him, I stay off the throne. And why is that easy? Because my God is good, and my God is for me. And he says, look, you obey me, you will be blessed. Obedience always leads to what? Okay, that wasn't a trick question. Let's try it again. Obedience always leads to what? Blessing. It leads to blessing in God. Obedience leads to blessing. Reverence of God leads to blessing in our lives. That's some good news. That is some good news that we have in the King. So in looking at this then, in keeping the right perspective, to fear God, it's a delight. There should be a joy in me reverencing him. Wisdom is released as I fear God. Stability happens in my life. I'm more stable as I fear God. And I get deliverance from my stuff, because we all got stuff going on, right? Some of you are in deep stuff. And he says, I want to deliver you. How does that happen? Fear me. Recognize, trust me, be like Nehemiah, who even though he was in captivity, he says, man, I know he's good and I delight doing his will, even though I can't see it. How about that first song we did today? You know, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by God. Like in your own mind, for some of you right now, you're tormented. There are so many things. It's like your mind is surrounded. And you know what I mean. If you're in that place, man, it swirls. You can't get away from the anxiety. Right? See, but in God, if we understand what it means to fear a good God, you're not surrounded by the problem. You're surrounded by a loving, all-knowing, all-powerful God. Right? That's good news. We could go home now. We're not, but we could, okay? We're not done yet. Okay, let's go forward here. Let's keep going forward. Amen. So listen, so there's going to be a judgment. There's a judgment that's going to happen. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And again, this is Paul's words to brand new Christians who were living in Corinth. Remember, the New Testament was written to people who did not have a Bible, that you know, they didn't have it as we know it. They had Old Testament scriptures, and if you weren't a Jew, you didn't even care about that. So they're trying to figure out Christianity. How do I do this Christian thing? So Paul's speaking to these people in the city of Corinth, and he's trying to get them to understand what's going to happen. And he says this, he says in chapter 5, he says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Okay, now, so there's this judgment. He says, we all got to stand before God. But listen, there's two different types of judgment. We're going to roll through this. There is the final judgment. That's Revelation chapter 20. We're all going to stand before God in our mind's eye because that we're so limited in thinking. We think of a big line, a long line, okay? And we're stepping up, and the time's going to come where you're going to stand before God, and he's going to open up the book of life. And if your name's in the book, you get to go to heaven. If your name isn't in the book, right? Okay, you go into eternal damnation, the Bible says, into hell. But there's also the Bema seat judgment, where this is what it is. This is where believers will stand before Christ to receive rewards based on how they lived their lives. As Christians, as those who have asked Jesus to forgive their past and declared him the leader of their future, for those that have made that commitment, right? We don't fear the final judgment. Our names are in the book. You rejoice your names in the book? Amen, and my name's in the book. But we are all going to stand at this Bema seat. Really, it's Bema seat of judgment. And really, listen, it's like a big reward ceremony. That's what it is. Okay, the Bema seat. Right? Again, just to grab hold of this. The Bema seat, they had a Bema seat in most cities. And this is a picture of one that was unearthed. I believe this was in the city of Corinth. And what it was a raised platform. But you see, listen, it wasn't a place where they judged you for evil. It was a place that really they looked to reward you. It's kind of like Paul spoke about athletic events. And it would be a place where be a place where you're called up on the stage, so to speak, but you're judged. Did you follow the rules? Because Paul said real clearly, he said, if you don't follow the rules, you don't get the reward, right? So you don't get the prize. He's used the metaphor of athletics. Okay, so he's saying, look, so, but if you did what you were told, if you followed the rules, you will get a reward. What the scripture is saying is God wants to give you rewards. And you and I, as followers of Jesus, are going to be judged on how many rewards we get. How does that sound? Right? That's not a bad judgment. Amen? You're going to be called forward, and he's going to judge this. So we don't, see, here's the thing. See, we don't need to fear that judgment, do we? We don't need to fear that. I don't need to fear that. I mean, I look forward to that. And man, help us catch that reality. Help us catch that. Now, again, let's look at also in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And again, this, because this is what it looks like. I want you to understand this Bema seat judgment. And this is Paul speaking, and he's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to people who know Jesus. He says, I'm just going to jump in. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid a foundation. He preached. He laid the foundation of Jesus. And another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. Listen, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. I want you to catch each one's work, because everybody's going to stand here. Everyone will stand here. Okay. For the day will declare it, because it'll be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has done on it endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Say, will be saved. You will be saved. See, this is not a judgment of people who don't know Jesus. This is judgment of people who do know Jesus. Okay? And he's saying, look, so what's going to happen? See, God's gifted you. He's gifted Jim, right? He's gifted Bill. He's gifted Talisha. And he said, look, I've given you these gifts, and the day's going to come when you're going to get on this Bema seat, and we're going to judge what you did. I gave you these talents. What'd you do with them? And it says, and Paul gives us the word picture of it's going to go through a fire. All the good things you did are going to go through a fire. That which you did with the right heart, right, with the right attitude, the right inclination, he says that's like building with gold and silver. And you're going to have a great reward. Now, the stuff that you did and you had a bad attitude and you complained about it and you murmured about it, that's like wood, hay, and straw. It's just going to burn up. You get no credit for that. No credit. See, so this, but catch the judgment. The point is, he wants to bless. He wants to reward you. Our God wants to reward us. Ah, man, is that good news? See, again, as I learn to fear the Lord and I learn to honor him, I am compelled. I am compelled where, man, I long to serve the King. I long to bring him honor. Why? Because, look, I am going to be judged, but I don't fear it. I want my life to bring honor to him. Man, God, help us catch that reality. That's good news. Now, so I'm excited about that. But you know, one thing I'm not excited about is if he said, if I'm looking behind him, I wonder if we'll be able to say, look behind him. And he points back there and says, hey, he says, Gary, see that stuff behind me? That's the things you could have had. That's the rewards you could have had if you would have obeyed me the whole time. I gave you things to do, and those were the rewards back there that you're not going to get. But why? Because I didn't obey. I didn't trust him. I don't want that to happen. I don't want it to happen to you. I don't want it to happen to Ryan. I don't want it to happen to Ed. No, I want you to be rewarded, and the Father wants to reward you. Okay? So again, I want to honor the King who's given everything for me, everything for me. So what will be judged? What will be judged? Let's roll through this quickly. What do we see in Scripture? Well, idle words are going to be judged. What's going to be judged at this moment? Idle words. Jesus said, I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Man, okay, idle words. Again, I want to keep my words right. I want to honor God. And I'm talking about people who know Jesus. Okay, I want to keep my words proper. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul wrote this to the Christians in Ephesus. This is a great one. You should have this one underlined in your Bible or take a picture of it. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Okay? Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. Let nothing come out of your mouth that tears down. Right? Let that only come out of what comes out of your mouth be for building up of others. Okay? Because I want my words to bring honor to God. I want them to bring honor. Next, what's going to be judged? Your deeds. Deeds are going to be judged. And this is speaking of the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew chapter 25. I encourage you to go and read that once again. I mean, how you treat others, not just in your family, not just in your church, but how you treat others in life is going to be judged. You're going to be judged on those deeds. Did you care for people in need? And it's not just our words, it's our actions are going to be judged. You know, what are we doing with our time? Next, we're also going to be judged for our service to the king, our service. And this is also Matthew 25 is a pretty serious chapter. It's almost all red letters. If you have a red letter Bible, it's almost all words of Jesus. And here he judges our stewardship, the parable of the talents or the minas, as it says in Luke. And again, what's being judged? This is what we spoke about in 1 Corinthians 3. You have talents. You know, all of us have 168 hours a week. What are you doing with your 168 hours? What are you doing? Does your time, does your calendar reflect a commitment to the King of the universe? Right? What are you doing with your money? Does it reflect that God is first? What are you doing with your gifting and your talent, the talents that you have? Okay, or does that reflect this love and this care for God? We will be judged on, are we bringing a return to God in the way that we serve? That's reality. It's reality. So what we want, though, again, we got to see that our lifestyle choices. I want my lifestyle choices to reflect that I'm saved. You know, if I'm saved, my life should reflect it. You know, if you've come to Jesus, your life should be different, radically different than it used to be. I don't care if you feel like you were Mother Teresa before, right? Jesus Christ revolutionizes what we do with our time, our talent, and our treasure. That's reality. You know, if we really see him and understand who he is. And Ephesians chapter 5. Is that the next slide, Ephesians 5? Yes. Paul speaking again. Be careful how you live, right? Be careful how you live. We're all going to be judged. Don't live like a fool. Live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Okay, he's saying, look, make the most of your opportunities. Don't be foolish in the decisions that you're making. God has a bigger plan for you. Don't live like a pagan is really what he's saying. You know, make the most of your opportunities. What does that look like? Listen, what's it look like? Make most of your opportunities. Let's talk first in a service way. If you're part of the church family, get on a team, serve in some way in the family, get in a group that not just because you need to receive input, you have to give input. You have things to offer. You have things to offer you, and you cannot just sit back and say, okay, again, I'm going to do Christianity my way. No, it's not an independent thing. Okay, so again, I want to make the most of the opportunity. I want to make it hard for my neighbors to go to hell. Okay, I want to make it hard. I want them to have to stumble over me. Okay, kick me out of the way, right? Why? Because I care. I care, right? I want to make the most of the opportunities that are before me. And I want to stay away from things that will intoxicate me. I want to stay away from things that will distract me. I got to be aware of the things around me. And mainly, though, listen, guys, we got to change our perspective. We got to keep our perspective, change our perspective that we recognize who Jesus Christ is. He is a powerful God. He is the Lion of Judah. He is one who can, said, holds my life, holds my next breath in his hand. But he's also so loving that he committed an act of love for my salvation when I was guilty that I can't even conceptualize having his son die. And he's both of those. Okay, but when we understand and we can reverence him, knowing that he's good, man, obeying him is not a problem. It's a delight. It's a delight to follow his commands. David said in Psalm 119, he said, I delight to follow your commands. He says, they make me wiser than all my teachers. Again, he wasn't talking about his own ideas. He was saying that, no, following the commands of God. So listen, with this in mind, I do want you to be aware of victory and freedom. I just want to make this, all of you, aware of victory and freedom. What victory and freedom is a Friday night and a Saturday that we encourage you, we adjure you, we push you, in holy harassment, we push you to get into. It's done with men and women separately, but it's to see you walk in victory over the old thought patterns that you have, to help you get set free from the things that have held you down, to get set free from the anxiety that wants to surround and cloud many of you even today. It's worth the investment. God wants you healed. He wants you whole. That's his desire, and that is our desire. And God wants you to inherit all the promises, but you can't do that if you're not free. Okay, so can't encourage you enough. Get to victory and freedom. Get to victory and freedom. That's the last slide, please. You know, so again, I want you to catch it again. We don't fear the judgment seat. We don't fear the Bema seat. We don't, right? Because our God's good. He wants to reward you. But you got to be sober-minded. There is a judgment. I want you to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done. Well done, Lauren. I've given you 5 things to do, and you did 5 things. That's what I want you to hear. I want you to receive the rewards that he has. Okay, that cannot happen. That cannot happen if you're trying to do it your own way. Right? He is going to judge us, but we don't fear it. We do not fear it. So let's grab hold of that and see, look, that you should be able to say, I have joy in following God's commands. I have joy in reverencing my King. I have joy in it. Now, what I also want you to catch here in this 2 Corinthians 5, where it says, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one will receive what is due. Verse 11, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. Persuade others. I mean, Paul's heart was for people to know the reality of who God was, to know that they would know the love of God, the care of God, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we could be whole. And this morning, I said, I want to persuade you. It's everything in my power to persuade you that, look, if you have not made that decision, say, Jesus Christ, you're the way. I am giving my life to you. I am surrendering my life to you. You're the boss. I may have been sitting on the throne. I've been on the throne. I'm giving up the throne. You now take that seat. You take that seat. If you've never made that decision, if you can't say the day, like, yep, there was a day where I said, yeah, you're now the boss. You're the king of my life. You're the Lord of my life. If you haven't done that, I want to do everything in my power to persuade you to make that decision. Make that decision. So let's all just pray right now. Father, we come before you. God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you, again, for the gift of Jesus Christ. That's what he is. He's a gift. And Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just move throughout the room. Bring encouragement to those who need encouragement. Bring freedom to those that are being beat up by their own minds. Bring freedom, Lord Jesus. And God, for those that are, man, they have a conviction in their heart, God, that, man, I've never made him the boss. I've never said, I surrender and I give you the center stage of my life. God, that they would respond to that. They'd respond to that. And if today, if you have never made that decision before, I'm challenging you to be bold and raise your hand and say, I need to make that decision. I need to say, Jesus Christ, you're the one. I'm going to put you center stage. I'm taking myself off the throne and putting you on it. I'm putting you on that throne. You may be one too. They said, you say, man, I was there, but I took back the throne. I took it back. If you're in that place, don't leave here without knowing you're in right standing once again. We respond in humility to you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your care. Thank you, God, that I can say it is a treasure. It is a treasure to me to fear your name. And in Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. We're going to turn this back over to Rachel.